Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Now, the hashtag MeToo movement has really put masculinity and the way men express their manhood under the microscope in recent years. Embodied masculinity experiences, often dubbed as man camps, are one way in which some men have been trying to come to terms with their experiences. Adam Gabbat is a writer and presenter for The Guardian US and recently attended one such camp, and he joins me now on News Talk. Adam, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm all right.
We were talking about Grease, the movie, a little bit earlier, and that it's not standing up in time, that it's coming across quite a sexist movie and, you know, time hasn't been kind to it. You can kind of say the same that men in general, can't you, since B2, that the way men in general have behaved is, you know, getting a harsh look at these days.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's been an idea of men going back to, certainly when I was a kid, you know, you see sort of Clint Eastwood in a film, or, you know, any sort of masculine guy, you think of him being strong, silent type, not complaining. But also, you know, with that sort of can come a lack of respect for other people. So, yeah, I mean, men are under the microscope, and rightly so, you see, when you see the Me Too movement and who's been up to all sorts of terrible stuff.
Right. So what exactly are the man camps? How did you come across them?
Well, we were looking to do a series on masculinity based around the Me Too movement. And so I was kind of looking for events to go to. And I think this idea of exploring masculinity has been really an academic enterprise until quite recently. So these man camps are actually, you know, sort of younger guys, earnest people who want to help men sort of be better men. So I found it online, chatted to the people, looked at some of their videos and photos, was absolutely terrified, and then decided to go to it.
Right. What was your background going in to it? Because what was your headspace really going into it?
Oh, just sheer terror and anxiety. I mean,
had you worries about your own previous, how you behaved as a man?
I think, yeah. I mean, it makes you, you know, the Me Too movement, I'm sure it makes lots of men think about situations they've been in and how they would conduct themselves differently. I mean, I've never done anything as egregious. I didn't want to point that out. I've never done anything as egregious as what you hear. But certainly thinking about the way I've treated women and men in previous relationships, going into it. But the main thing I thought wasn't going to jibe with me was that a lot of these man camps are quite sort of new agey. So the videos, the photos online, I mean, everyone's wearing a poncho and sort of sage being burned everywhere, and it's sort of drum circle-y and stuff like that. And that, you know, I'm sort of, that's not really within my interest realm. So I was concerned about that. And also, you know, the people who go to this have almost sort of out of body experiences, some people. So you see them in floods of tears and really kind of breaking down. And nice. I was a bit concerned about doing that in front of other people and, of course, on camera.
Yeah, worse again. So what happened when you went in?
Well, I went in and everyone was lovely. And, you know, I suppose some of my initial fears about whether I would fit in, they subsided a little bit. And I mean, one of the interesting things was that there were a lot of sort of group activities that I think were designed to get people to relax. So, and some of them were actually kind of built into quite masculine tropes. The idea of healthy masculinity, you know, like these groups will say there's nothing wrong with being a man. And some of the things that come with being a man, like, you know, maybe aggression is part of that, but there's a way to direct it and situations where it can be used. So anyway, they had us wrestling one another, screaming and shouting, that kind of primal scream therapy, and doing kind of physical things. And then that gets you meeting people, doesn't it? And kind of relax, you get to know people a little bit. And then there was this, the more intense sort of like group therapy session where we were encouraged to really kind of dive in and explore things that had upset us in the past and kind of bring that out and tell the group. And there's about 30 people there who you sort of stand up and address and try and be sort of honest about what's upset you, what you're anxious about, your sort of fears in life. So it was pretty full on.
Okay. And are they your general fears in life, or are they trying to get you to focus on, you know, how you've behaved towards, well, I would have thought it was how you behaved towards women in particular.
Yeah, it's mostly towards women. And well, I mean, I think the theory is that it goes hand in hand, right? So a lot of people would talk about their upbringing and maybe, and I think a lot of people can empathize with this, like feelings of abandonment around maybe, for example, your own father wasn't there or wasn't there emotionally. I mean, you know, it's this sense of things being compounded. So if your dad, if his dad was distant, which, you know, isn't that difficult to imagine if you're thinking back to like people in the 1930s and 40s, if his dad was distant, he kind of had this not a great idea of masculinity. So then you feel that you maybe kind of weren't reinforced in a certain way. So maybe you had insecurity about, are you, you know, are you sort of up to the job? Are you a bit inferior to other people? I think that's something I've struggled with. And then, you know, so that's more general. And then I think sometimes those feelings of inferiority or inadequacy come out in how you treat other people, people who are probably less strong than you. I mean, this is where some men's treatment of women comes in. They feel inferior as men. Who can they take it out on? Unfortunately, sometimes women.
Yeah, that's a recurring theme of the, you know, just, you know, the strong person strikes this person, that person strikes whoever they are stronger than. It just seems to be the way we go. You mentioned one thing of staring into another man's eyes at the beginning of this. What was that about?
Well, do you know what? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, there were a lot of these exercises, and it's kind of a part of this, you know, it's sort of a new, I wouldn't say science, but it's a new experience. So they're kind of discovering things as they go along. So there's bits thrown in from yoga. There's bits thrown in from, I don't know, kind of Native American ceremonies. I think the idea of staring into another man's eyes is trying to get you into the idea that, look, other men are similar to you and have the same problems as you. And that was something actually I did take away from it. I've been to therapy before. I think a lot of people have. And, you know, those things that you might be worried about that you think only you are worried about. You know, you might have concerns about, again, in terms of masculinity, like, oh, other people are more successful than I am. Other people don't seem to have the fears that hold them back from, you know, doing things that I have. Really, in therapy, the people will tell you, look, what you have isn't unique to you. Other men feel the same kind of things. But, it, you know, that's one thing, hearing that, and it's great. But when you're actually around other men, you get to hear them say it, and you get to realize, wow, that thing that was really bothering me, like that guy has exactly the same problem, which is great. So the staring into eyes was about that. And I think we had to do it for about 3 minutes. And okay. I mean, if anyone wants to try this, it felt like about an hour. It was, it was really, really kind of hard. I mean, I said in the film, like, I've never stared a girlfriend in the eyes that long. And I think after a certain point, it becomes, the only thing I could compare it to is like a sort of sexual feeling. I mean, you think, what am I doing here?
Was that really uncomfortable?
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, this is within about an hour of us arriving. It's go and stand in a line and stare this stranger in the eyes. And I mean, whether it was nerves or just my sort of approach to things of this nature, like I was struggling not to laugh at first, just sort of giggling, or like kind of, there was a camera there. I was wondering if I should be like looking at the camera and doing a sort of what's going on, shrug of the shoulders thing. But after a while, you get used to it. And I think, you know, you can get a sense, they say this in films, don't they? But you can get a sense of another man from looking him in the eyes. You could see that they were nervous as well. when you smiled, you could see how someone else responded. But yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to have a kind of unnerving experience, I would recommend it.
Look into another man's eyes. What did you feel at the end of it? Did you feel you took something away from it? Did you feel it had helped you in any way?
Yeah, I did actually. As I say, I mean, the main thing I really found was being around other guys, and it takes a lot to get into this situation, but being around other guys and being able to say, like, look, I'm upset about this. I'm worried about this. You know, I was in this relationship and it didn't work out, and I'm still, this is hypothetical, by the way, I was in a relationship, yeah, it didn't work out, and I'm kind of heartbroken and I'm worried that my girlfriend has moved on. And you probably wouldn't, I mean, I don't know, the kind of circles I'm from, I probably wouldn't say that sort of stuff. But you say it to other men, they're like, yeah, I was in exactly the same place, or I feel that. So
okay.
I think I took away that, you know, communicating with other men, if they're up for it, can be a really healthy thing. And I mean, I think another thing I took away from it is this probably isn't for everyone.
Okay.
As I say, it was kind of, it was new age, and I think it attracted a sort of man who was already interested in exploring his masculinity. So how do you
maybe not the toxic type that could probably benefit the most from it. Adam, listen, thank you very much for joining us today. And you can watch the video. It's up on The Guardian's website, theguardian.com. Man Camp Health Masculinity. If you type in those words, it'll take you directly to it. Adam, thank you very, very much.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.